Oh, Dicker, you better put out episodes. I want to hear. You better talk about interesting things. Amanda will help you. But you're not going to let me down, Dicker. I'm not letting you off the hook just because you got a pinch hitter there. You got to pull your weight, Dicker. Don't make me come over there.
Get over Ming's kingdom, we should land near the entrance of the abandoned drain tunnel. Our ship can be well concealed there.
I remember the place.
Hello there, everybody. Barney here. Welcome to another episode of Loco Ludus. There's about a trillion other things that I should be doing, but I'm trying to just... you know, give the podcast a little bit of time. I think that's, I'm entitled to do that. You just heard, of course, Jason at the beginning there, you know, giving me some, you know, some friendly threats, God forbid that Jason would come over to Europe and that we would ever meet in person. That would be awful. And you will have heard Jason's little reference to Amanda, who, as I said in last episode, which was an interview with her, that she'll be joining me at least once a month. To keep the podcast going, and have a bit more content, and I'm really looking forward to that. Amanda sent me pictures of her little kind of studio setup, and it looks super. Makes me very jealous because I just set my stuff up wherever there's a quiet space in my house. So I hope her, you know, she's going to sound, I think she'll sound much superior to me, probably, you know, in many if not all respects. So that's coming up. This episode is another Barney project episode. And it's mainly going to be about Neo-Triassic shoreline regression syndrome. So there you go, Jason. This here is one, and I hope it's interesting. I've also got some messages from folks over quite a long time now. Actually, I think there's some quite old ones in there. I don't feel too ashamed about that. But it's nice to actually have an episode where I can work in some of those usable messages. I've had other kind of conversations with people via message, and I thank them for that. But, you know, I'm sure other anchor podcasters, even other podcasters who use audio messages or correspondence from people, you know, not all correspondence, valuable as it is, will work for one reason or another. And sometimes, you know, it's the correspondence or the messages are explicitly off the record, if you like. So obviously they won't get played. But I just want to say thanks for everyone who's sent me a message in the last 6 months. Again, you know, I usually say thank you back anyway. So there's more from Jason. We've got a little bit from Spencer and also Carl Rodriguez. So I'm going to play those in a bit, but I want to start by just talking about a little bit about the other stuff that's been going on before later on, you know, getting into Neo-Triassic shoreline regression syndrome. So perhaps I won't talk about that at all. Except to say that I have mentioned before, but I got a little group of folks together to do some actual plays, and we are called End of Plays. The End of Plays. And we've been doing a number of things. Spencer talked about what we've been doing a little bit on Keep Off the Borderlands. So we've played a game with Jonathan Hicks, playing his Those Dark Places, which was great. And we've played with Jacob Wood. He's run Survival of the Able, a medieval zombie apocalypse game, which we're hoping to finish off this week with him. But we've also, End of Plays has also been playing Neo-Triassic Shoreline Regression Syndrome. And that's really good fun. But like I say, I'll talk about Neo-Triassic later. So in terms of End of Plays, our plan is that we go on a series of adventures. You know, we have if you like, our own game that we will run, but that different members of the group will GM those games. So, you know, mini campaigns, I suppose, would be what I would call them. So we're doing Neo-Triassic, and then we'll do something else. And I think I've talked about this before and elsewhere, I think, or somewhere on this podcast, about diversity. And at least I think I have. I've been talking to myself about it, that's for sure. One of the tricky things about diversity is that it doesn't always just happen by chance. So I think you have to work at it, and you have to, you know, you have to, like with any group of people, you have to find a group that fits together well. And I have to say, I think, you know, the people that I contacted about End of Plays, just, I think, work together really, really well. It's great. That, you know, it's a lovely group, and I really enjoy playing with them. So you know, with any group, you're thinking about how people will fit together. And in terms of diversity, you have to work at it. You have to make it a principle. And so while there are many, many, many people that I really enjoy playing with, and I'm really happy to play with, and I will play with at the drop of a hat, for this endeavour, End of Plays, I wanted to do my best to get a diverse group of people together, and that would somehow come across in the recordings or how the group works. And but also without that being a thing. And I don't know, you know, people could pop up and say, oh, it's all excuse me, it's all, I don't know, what are these words, like virtue signaling or woke or any of those kinds of things. And whatever you like, I live and let live, really, I say. My reply to that kind of thing, which I haven't had any response like that. I'm just, talking aloud, thinking aloud about this. There has to be a sincerity. There has to be a sincerity about doing things. And all I can say in that respect is that I do feel strongly about making as much effort as I can to make my activities as diverse, open, welcoming, and accessible as possible. And I've talked about accessibility, and I will again. I don't know if this is exactly the episode, but regular listeners will know that I'm really trying to, like many other people, make design things that are really accessible on different kinds of levels. So anyway, the fantastic group that we have for End of Plays is we have Chris, who lives up the road from me in Germany, and I met him at my local game con, and he did fabulous work on Trickster's Net layouts. And is just a wonderful role player. I mean, I'm going to say that about all of them. We have Quinn, who is one half of a podcast which she does with her husband Alex called A Couple of Characters. Woo! Have I got that right? A pair of characters? A couple of characters. It's a couple of characters where they create characters and talk about the kinds of games they would put them in, and they are they're that they're a great pair. It's a great to listen to them do that. And Quinn, I came into contact with through last year's Everyone Games weekend, the Accessible Gaming Weekend, and that was where we kind of came into contact, but it was through the Sustainable Gaming Forum that Quinn really got in, that we directly started to communicate. And after, having got to, bit of correspondence with Quinn, that was when I asked her if she would be the female voice to Joe Richter's male voice for rules reading. So they will be reading Neo-Triassic Shoreline Regression Syndrome, and they will also be reading League of Eternal Guardians, which is still happening, still happening. Maybe I'll talk about that if I haven't waffled on too much. We have Taryn, who is just a great character performer, character creator. And Taryn, I also came into contact with through the Everyone Games weekend last year. Taryn played in my League of Eternal Guardians game for that. And that was just such a blast. Taron is also a musician and appears on other actual plays, live plays. So that's great. So Chris Quinn, Taron, and then we have Spencer. How could I possibly do anything meaningful without Spencer? That just, you know, that idea is just almost impossible to comprehend. So it's wonderful to have Spencer coming live and direct from Scotland with his London patter. Quinn is on the East Coast. Taron is also on the East Coast of the States. And we also have Lexi with us in End of Plays. Lexi hasn't quite managed to get in a game yet, but she's played League of Eternal Guardians in the past and is also a really great role player. One of those people who's just super enthusiastic and energetic, and that is, you know, that's wonderful. And there's me. So that little team is a diverse team, and I'm just going to say that's enough. We are scheduled to play a bit of Neo-Triassic Shoreline Regression Syndrome as part of this year's Everyone Games weekend, which will be very exciting. I think because it's, you know, it's going to be a single session, I think I'm going to run a kind of annex to the module, to the adventure, which won't be a direct part of our mini campaign that we're recording. It will be kind of standalone, you know, groups who play Neo-Triassic can integrate that annex in their game if they wish. But again, that's me talking about Neo-Triassic Shoreline Regression Syndrome. So, End of Plays. So we've been, it's, you know, we're playing regularly. It's great fun. It's wonderful. So our last game was on Friday. We normally play on a Wednesday. Then it was some Cthulhu, a couple of Cthulhu games with Andy and Tristan Narborough and his crew in Japan on Sunday. That was the Sunday Cthulhu game, and Andy's with the usual Grizzly Peakers on Saturday night. Tom Barbalay, Spencer and I also had a good hour's meeting about Alluvial Plains on Saturday, which has been a long time coming. So that is kind of not deliberate. It's not deliberately been neglected, Alluvial Plains, but it's, you know, it's other things are happening. Other things are happening. In terms of League of Eternal Guardians, I ran the League versus the Overlook Hotel as part of a virtual grog meet a few weeks back. Was that the beginning of April? That was a lot of fun. So got to play with some new folks there, and I would just single out for a moment Mike Percival, if I've got that right, Mike, who who does the Mr. Spike's Bedtime Stories podcast and plays a lot of Cthulhu. And he's been a member of the League Discord, the League, for a long time now. And so that was our opportunity to finally get a game in. And so that was wonderful. But everyone was fab, and it was really enjoyable to meet everyone. I think I've got a recording of that somewhere, so maybe that will arise, emerge at some point. I recently did my first actual play editing of a League of Eternal Guardians game that we played at Christmas with the Grizzly Peaks gang, and the return of our missing in action friend Colin of Spike Pit. And that was great fun. I, having done a fair amount of video editing in my time, I really enjoyed getting into that, editing that. Some parts just fly by, and then other parts, you're really just dragging along at one particular point, just because of the nature of some sequence and the way people were talking or umming. And I really have to try harder not to repeat myself and start sentences and do all of that. I've probably done it a load already. And just stopping the ums as well, I edit using Premiere. I think I know some of the people who do that. I can't remember who it is, but that's what I feel comfortable using. I love the fact that the you just drag the tracks, the footage onto the tracks, and they kind of stick there, and you can chop them up, and you can see the sound, and move it around, and have other tracks. To me, that is, it's just super intuitive, knowing my way around it. Whereas every single audio editing program just gives me just I'm just banging my head against a brick wall. So that's my tip. Use Premiere. Use Premiere. Okay, the reason I'm talking about that, I suppose, is because I've sent the voice tracks edited, the edited voice tracks over to Andy, who has very kindly agreed to put sound effects on in the background, because he says that's the bit that he really enjoys, and he doesn't enjoy the editing. So, I mean, I think he does. I think he does. But whereas the editing feels, sometimes time-consuming, slow work, I think he feels more joyful with putting the sound effects on. So I'm super excited about that. End of plays, I don't know what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to have to use a bit of something now and again, but a bit like this podcast, I've mucked about a little bit with sound, but hardly in any substantial sense. And I much prefer just simple, bare bones, straight to it. There you go. But I think it will be necessary to just add a bit of depth and atmosphere. I don't know about sound effects particularly, but it'd be nice to just use a bit of, find some kind of sound or music for the backgrounds a little bit. Trickster's Net has basically finished, but I do have to, there are a few more things to, documents for the itch page to finish and sort and upload, and I've been promising it for ages now, but we've got two wonderful panel discussions that need to just appear as podcasts, but again it's a kind of an editing time and editing thing. But the other thing there is that another project, if you like, the follow-up to Trickster's Net is kind of in process. So Trickster's Net was with a group of young people in Germany and a group of young people in Wales playing online. This follow-up project is a bit different and a bit bigger because it involves exchanges with my city, Kempton, two of Kempton's partner cities, so Trento in Italy and Sligo in Ireland, and we also have Wales and Tom there, who worked on Trickster's Net with me as co-facilitator, and so that's really good. Got just great colleagues to work with all around the place, and we're just trying to pull everything together. We got bits of funding here, bits of funding there, and next Monday I have to hand in another pretty sizable application in. So that's one of the trillion things that I could be doing, but I feel like this is, you know, it's important to kind of clear my mind and you know, it'll get done. So there are a couple of more meetings to have this week and to figure out that cost plans and stuff like that. So there we go. I think that's about it now, for now. So I want to start with Carl Rodriguez's messages. Carl, of course, presents The Geomologist Presents. These messages are all responding to the last Barney episode about Neo-Triassic, I think, kind of. I mean, Jason talked a little bit about Amanda, didn't he? So I think all of these messages coming up now, they all relate to the Neo-Triassic Shoreline Regression Syndrome episode, which was the one before the interview with Amanda. So Carl, Jason again, and then Spencer. So let's start. Oh, well, actually, Carl has something different to ask me about first.
Hey, Barney, I heard your message on the spike pit thing, and I wanted to know how we could get paid for our unboxings. So if you have an in, since you're all big and stuff in the industry, send it over. Because the dollar is less than the euro, and it'd be worth my time.
Now, I can't quite remember exactly what I said in my message to Colin Spikepit about unboxings. And it was it's something about them, if they're neutral, or if you've been given them as review copies and kind of declaring that And I think I was possibly saying that I think it's okay to review things that you might have been given. Something perhaps like that. Now, but sorry to say, Carl, but I guess you're asking the wrong person there. I'm sorry if I gave you the impression that I've got all of these amazing contacts and I can, just turn them on like taps and suddenly we're all swimming in review copies of things. But I think you know that, don't you, Carl? I think you know that. Anyway, onto Neotriassic shoreline regression syndrome.
Hey Barney, really looking forward to your fanzine. Just based on what you said, I think a really good system. I know you're talking about Powered by the Apocalypse, but and maybe other things, but I think a good system for your world would be like Cypher system, since it's very player facing and you can sort of define the character with like a sentence. I think that would be the best way to go. At least that's where I would be thinking. If I were, when I get your zine, because I'm excited about supporting it and will love to see your content and what you put out. So I think Cypher system to me is the way to go. I do like Powered by the Apocalypse. I really like City of Mists and Cult and how they've kind of modified Powered by the Apocalypse. So, oh, and Monsters of the Week. I love that kind of game too. So I'm a big fan of that narrative. And I think it is a different style of play, but it still works. It's like, hey, I want to do this. And then you and the GM decide like how or what trick you're going to use or what, or like in City of Mist, what maneuver you're going to use, or same thing with Cult, like how what maneuver you're going to use, and then you go from there. So I think it's a really cool system, Powered by the Apocalypse, and it would probably work also with your what you're putting out, your Neo-Triassic thing. So it's kind of cool. I guess I'm shocked that you're not taking inspiration from Waterworld with Kevin Costner, but hey, maybe that didn't get over to Europe. Who knows? Kevin Costner, come on, man. Dances with Wolves, Robin Hood, out, what was that one? Untouchables. Kevin Costner and Waterworld. Come on, Barney.
Thank you very much, Carl. I guess I'd take this opportunity to just say thanks to Carl and thanks to all of the other supporters of Neotriassic Shoreline Regression Syndrome. It really means a great deal to have that support, to know that there are people who are interested in it and interested in what I'm doing. Really appreciate that. So thank you ever so much, Carl, and thanks again to everybody who is supporting it and also those people who've said really encouraging things. I think it sounds great to run Neo-Triassic with Cypher. Which I don't really know. I've never played it. It's a bit of a gap in my education there. I hear interesting things about it. So I'll definitely have another look at a look at what it offers. But as Carl is kind of talking about, in a way, Neotriassic shoreline regression syndrome is system agnostic. So whatever system you are most comfortable with, you can use for it. However, I will be working with Spencer to create stats for Troika into the Odd and my counterpoint D6 system, which is essentially the same system as you can find in Trickster's Net and in League of Eternal Guardians. And that's the system I'm also using for the end of plays Neo-Triassic adventure. And really enjoying approaching those core mechanisms in a slightly different way. So that's really good. And so Spencer and I will be working together on those three different sets of stats. But I think the plan is basically I let Spencer do Troika and Into the Odd, and I do Counterpoint, and then we kind of we chat about it, we swap drafts, and have a back and forth about it, which is wonderful. And that was kind of one of the nominal kind of stretch goals. So having cleared the 100% funding goal, that as a goal anyway, that's great. But having reached it, that was kind of that was the step to really add that additional content with Spencer. We're at 119% funded now, currently, and it is a slow funding project. It's still funding. So if you haven't gone to have a look at it, if you have looked at it and you haven't backed it, if you're thinking of backing it, but you haven't yet, there is still time and opportunity to do that. So I'll put the link to the Ko-fi page in the show notes, and I would be very grateful if you would consider to back it. I think it's going to be good. I'm really optimistic. I'm optimistic about what I can do. I'm optimistic about what the artists can do. I'm optimistic about the adventure. I mean, optimistic seems a bit, not like I'm really, really enjoying the adventure. It kind of creates itself, or I really feel that I'm just drawing out the fascinating, exciting, strange stuff that somehow is there. And of course, that's coming through the players. That's also coming through the two playtest groups, which I'll talk about again in a few minutes. So on to Jason now.
Hey, Barney, I really enjoyed your latest episode. Thank you for talking about your crowdfunded project. I wanted to call it a Kickstarter, kind of like we want to use aspirin or in the States, or you want to, say Hoover for a vacuum, where we have these, there are parts in the U.S. where we use Coke for all sodas, right? Where we should be using pop instead. But do you have that over there? Do you find that in Germany over there, there are certain brand names that are used as the generic term for everything in that category? Is that an Americanism? I wonder. Anyhow, I really enjoyed you talking more about your crowdfunding project. I enjoyed hearing your thoughts on Root and Powered by the Apocalypse games. Thank you for putting the podcast out. I enjoy Powered by the Apocalypse, but I've never had a real bang up, knock me out of my socks moment playing Powered by the Apocalypse. I've had fun with them. I've enjoyed the groups I played with, but I think the mechanics are a little too clunky. Maybe I just haven't played with the right GM. I don't know.
as far as the moves go. Sometimes it feels the moves are where instead of you should just be describing what you're doing in the gym, like, well, it sounds like you're doing this, roll this. It almost seems like the moves are too front and center. And that's a play style, and that might be us playing it wrong. I don't know. But thank you so much for talking about it. Thank you for putting this episode out, and I look forward to your interview coming up. Take care of yourself. And who knows, maybe the stars will align and we'll get to play in a game together at some point. I'd love to do that. I miss playing games with you. Anyhow, talk to you later.
So yes, Jason, in answer to that first question, of course we use the word Hoover, the words Hoover and Coke for all manner of, brand quality products and so on. What was the other thing? Kickstarter. Oh God, my memory. What were you just saying, Jason? Okay, yeah, more about Powered by the Apocalypse, you know, following on from Carl and me talking about Root. And just systems in general. I'm not gonna talk about systems here today, I think, any more than I have or will. Jason, it's you want to stay in good, on a good even keel with Jason, because otherwise he'll send you. Well, if Jason is annoyed with you, the best case scenario is he sends you threatening messages, and the worst case scenario is that he ignores you. So, it's kind of, we're kind of in the court of the Sun King, really, and you don't enjoy the ear of the Lord, if it's overcast. What the hell am I talking about? Jason has just been such a wonderful friend over the years now of podcasting and international gaming. And it has indeed been a while since we've played in a game together, it will happen again, and I think we've got a few ideas, maybe Tank Girl, Street Fighter, Tales from the Crypt, and I did also leave Jason a message about an exclusively magic focused ICRPG game, but he hasn't. I don't think he's played that message, publicly. So that's another thing. Sometimes he says he'll make you famous on his podcast if you send him a message, but he doesn't always make you as famous as you could be, although he usually does. So I did leave him over 20 minutes of messages, and he did include them in a recent episode. So you don't bite the hand that feeds, folks. Thank you ever so much, Jason. So now on to Spencer.
Hello, Barney. Just wanted to say thank you for that last episode. I feel partially responsible for you putting it out post-migraine. But it's always a pleasure to hear you reflecting on anything, to be honest. But it was nice to hear your thoughts regarding Root, how that went. I may take a look at those rules myself, as it sounds like it's nicely written. What was I going to say? Oh, thanks for the overview of Neo Triassic Shoreline Regression Syndrome. Yeah, I got it. Very much look forward to playtesting that. Great stuff. Take care. Bye.
Thanks again, Spencer, for being so present in so many projects and games and chat and everything. It's wonderful to have you around on so many things, and especially in End of Plays. As I said at the beginning, I'm really enjoying playing and recording with these folks, and I think we're having a lot of fun, and I think we're going to carry on having a lot of fun, and it just feels really good. So what I wanted to do was, you know, I've talked a little bit about End of Plays in general, but I wanted to talk a little bit about Neo-Triassic specifically. Now, I have said before, I've got two playtest groups on the go. I've got my kind of project artists group, playtest group, and I've got the End of Plays group. The End of Plays group, of course, is being recorded to be put out as actual plays, live plays. And the artists playtest group is kind of much more rough and ready. I started with the artists group first, and they have been really, really pivotal and continue to be pivotal in providing me with opportunities to really reflect on the scenario design, the structure of it. So what's happened is that actually they're basically neck and neck now. The groups are now neck and neck. Oh, there's my phone. Okay, so the two groups have drawn basically neck and neck. So I guess I've kind of lost that opportunity for the artists group to be, if you like, testing some things before I bring them to End of Plays. But I think that's okay. I think it's reached a point where that's fine. Because with the artists group, we've done five or six sessions, and what I did actually after two sessions was I started again with them. We started the adventure again, because they had some really good suggestions for the opening of the game, if you like, the type of thing. And I think what I came up with works really well and is a good fun way in. So that's what I mean when I say that with the artist group I can really roughly work stuff out. We're trying to play it just a bit more quickly, kind of skipping over some things, I think, just to, you know, to get to the really key parts. Whereas with End of Plays, we're just completely taking our time, which, you know, having this idea of the group and recording it allows for. And, you know, I have to, you know, tip my hat to Andy Goodman and Grizzly Peaks Radio, and for having me in one of his groups, which is also a wonderful experience, and just really, really having an ongoing regular game, you know, which allows you to say with Andy, you know, always 2 hours on the nose. We play for 2 hours and that's it, and we kind of get to wherever we've got to. With End of Plays, we run a little bit over 2 hours, and kind of get to a good moment, and that's super. So many thanks to Andy for all of the insights that he's shown me. Okay, so the two groups. I think that in terms of the scenario, they're also branching off slightly, with in terms of approach and in terms of where and when they want to, what they want to do and how they want to do it. So in that sense, I think there's still lots to be gained from running them both. And I think that kind of expediency with the artist group will hopefully start to kind of go ahead of the End of Plays a little bit, maybe to, you know, to let me just see how structurally some things work or don't before I bring them to End of Play. I think that's still if that happens, that would be a good thing, but I don't think it's necessary at all. But it's a, you know, this, I think I talked about this last time, I think my way of writing is very much playtest based, so it all, you know, I've got loads and loads and loads of notes, and all of that is just being kind of churned around in a draft. And oh yes, that's what I wanted to say. There are differences again. So certain things, like I said, with the artist group so far, they've been able to, because they've been slightly ahead of End of Plays, I've been able to make little tweaks and changes. But like I say, I've got the feeling for it now. So that's not so important. The last thing that I want to say about it is how interesting it is how different the two groups are. The artists group are happiest when they're killing people. They just want to get to the action. And End of Plays are more, they're definitely more investigative, kind of sensorial, kind of, you know, just, I don't want to say cautious, because they're not really being cautious, but I was going to say systematic. The others are quite systematic as well, but they just revel in the action, the bloody action, which I just think is fascinating. It's so fascinating what individuals want and what groups agree to amongst themselves, how that's negotiated. And from my side, designing it, I'm really happy about catering to both of those things, because those things are inherent in the adventure. And, you know, the investigation can happen through a much more combative approach, perhaps where also, you know, other kinds of threats are, you know, dialed up and more frequent. And the a more investigative approach where you know, things build up. And I think this is my closing thought for this episode, is about my tendencies as a designer, particularly with kind of campaign play in mind. I really like the kind of slow burn, slow build up type of situations. I like stuff to emerge slowly and for tensions to build up. And of course, sometimes I fall short of that, and I become aware of that one way or the other, that I've rushed through something, that I've missed an opportunity to kind of tighten something or stretch something a little bit, just to the right kind of torsion, I suppose. And I also, you know, it's also good to try and vary that as much as possible. So it's an interesting kind of game that you play with yourself, I find, thinking about those things. And definitely, you know, you want some kind of dramatic hook for the first session, I feel. So you've got to have and I'm not saying anything at all unique here. You know, I think it's good to start with something quite, you know, evocative, quite dramatic, and mysterious, I suppose, and then to just reveal things in a kind of tensile way, I suppose. And of course, to give as much to the players always as possible, absolutely. And again, playtesting this the Neo-Triassic parallel with these two groups is so great, because they both come up with such wonderful different things. Taran's character is visually impaired, and because the game is set 200 years in the future, Taran has come up with a kind of sonic visualizer, you know, based on things that we have now a little bit, which is just wonderful. So Taran's character is able to tune in on things and pick up frequencies and stuff, and that's just super. And when I told the End of Plays group that they've got a good pile of sonic weapons as well, they were everyone kind of went, ooh, I seem to remember. So that's nice. I'm going to close with a message from Joe, because it's good fun. And Joe Richter, of course, of Hindsightless. I'm not really going to comment on it, apart from to say that this goes back to, I think it's kind of a bit linked to me talking to Henker Infernale or Brandish Gilhelm, depending on what you want to call him, the author, the man behind Runehammer, and the author of the Viking. Jesus, I've forgotten the name of the thing. Oh God, what is it? Viking Death Squad. Viking Death Squad. Is that it? So I interviewed Hank about that a while back, and that led to maybe contributed to a discussion about metal, being metal. So here's Joe talking about that. I'm just going to say that I hope you're doing well, and I look forward to hearing from you if you have any thoughts. You know, I'd love to hear about what your tendencies of scenario design are. What kinds of scenario structures do you gravitate towards or most enjoy? You know, let me know that. Please do consider supporting Neotriassic Shoreline Regression Syndrome. Would mean a lot. I'd love to get to 150%. I don't know when I'm going to stop the slow funding. It'll be at some point. So do, if you've listened this far but haven't looked at the Ko-fi page, please do have a look, have a read. All the best, and I'll be back probably next, realistically, with Amanda appearing again, which is wonderful.
You know how I know you're metal, Barney? Because you don't claim to be metal. It's not about the music you listen to, and yes, I am going to completely ignore your asinine comment that metal isn't rocking and that it's shallow. Metal is a state of mind, and you absolutely have that state of mind. You can't make a game like Alluvial Plains or League of Eternal Guardians and not be a little bit metal. That's just facts. Facts is facts, man. Doesn't matter what music you listen to. Matters what's in your heart.